Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:43 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Good afternoon, Orange and Truthers. I guess good evening. It's 8:43 p.m. You're listening to the Orange and True podcast, harbored by the friendly folks at collegeofmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It's me, SantaCrow2 from Twitter. At SantaCrow is where you find me on Venmo. To one side of me. Not here yet, because he's working on some painting. I guess he's into watercolors these days. That would be Ryan. We'll let you know if he ever shows up. No-show Jones Ryan. To the other side of me, giving you the full Fort Payne ASMR, Mr. Hay Fever himself, the AU chief.
Hello. The Fort Payne ASMR is extra juicy tonight, as it were.
Absolutely. You can hear I went to the game on Saturday in your voice.
Yeah. Well, I sounded like this even worse than this. By the time it was time to go home, I was like, I sounded like somebody that smokes 80 packs a day by the end of it. Back to your greeting earlier, I just thought the way that Paul the Esk starts out the Everton Business Matters podcast and Talking the Blues, both of which he hosts, he says, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where in the world you listen. It's a good one.
It is a good one.
It's his thing. It's his calling call.
I love – one of my favorite things about – we're going behind the music here. One of my favorite things about the intro is that we do announce the time.
Yes.
But only that we record this.
Right.
And then it's never that time when people – I mean, very rarely. The odds of someone's listening to this at 8:43 p.m.
We should start doing like talk radio like every 5 minutes. And the time is 8:45.
You're absolutely right. We'll go – and now a word from your local station.
Yeah.
This is Alexis on with traffic. No, that's not a bad idea. Well, Ryan's not here. We can only assume that it's because he partied too hard this weekend after Auburn demolished Akron. But we're not here to talk about that game yet.
Yeah.
We are here to talk about a team that has won 10 straight matches.
Yeah, that is Ryan's missing his spotlight. This is the Ryan Sterrett. The S stands for soccer spotlight.
The S now stands for soccer. I mean, if you had told me – this Auburn soccer team, if you remember, just a few months ago, did not find itself in the tournament – even though it had been going on a streak at the end of the year last year as well. And we were like, this stinks. They got so much momentum. This would be the year to go to the tournament. They can make some noise. And they have carried that momentum right on ahead into the regular season this year. And, yeah. I mean, this is now 10 straight wins after a 3-0 game against Chattanooga.
I think they really took that personally when they were left out of the tournament.
Yeah.
I'm not a big believer in locker room material type stuff, but I have to believe that they're out to prove something this year.
And they have basically
the same team. So.
Right. And, differential does not matter. But maybe it does if there's like a tie at the end of the year. But currently, they are sitting on a 2-4-6, 13-2-4 goal differential.
A GD of nine.
So that is pretty dang good for being five games in. I mean, five games in, they have won all five, no ties, which in soccer, there are quite a few draws more often than not. And to not have had one, and that includes one ranked win. Auburn is now ranked. And they got two games coming on this week. And the two games this week, guys, are you got a tune-up game versus Alabama A&M. That should be a pretty easy win for our ladies because the SWAC is not known as a soccer conference. But number one Florida State comes to town on the 12th of September. So, guy, if you're listening to this, you might be – we're talking maybe about a top 10 matchup in Auburn, a team that at that point will have won 11 straight matches, six straight to start the season, playing Florida State, the best team in the United States. Now, do I think Auburn's going to win that match? I don't really, to be 100% honest, think that Auburn's going to win. However, they got a chance. They're playing with a ton of passion, and they're playing together, and their attack in the final third, as we call it in the biz, is phenomenal. Once they get the ball into the final third, it's church, basically. They don't miss a ton of shots.
Yeah,
they get a lot of shots on frame, and they put the ball in the back of the net. And I think the opposite of what USA men's national team has been doing in the World Cup qualifiers, where everything has been great except for the final third.
Right.
Auburn women's soccer has been just – they have been pushing the ball down the field. Ever to conquer, never to yield. So it's pretty great. It's they're fun to watch. This is not your granddad's soccer game where it's plotting and it's a 0-0 game going into the 90th. This is attack, attack, attack. Press, 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 get the ball – turn them over, get it back, shoot a goal. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm absolutely going to try to catch that Florida State game because that's it could be thrilling, and a result there would be whether it's 1 point or all three would be signal great things for this team, and. I'm excited. It's going to be really fun to watch.
Be remiss to say, Will Kelly points out, volleyball is also 4-0 on Twitter,
yes.
He points out. But that's important.
It is.
I don't know anything about volleyball, so this is not really – we don't cover a lot of
well, I feel like they only play sport. Like 16 games a year. So
right.
So 4-0 start is – or matches, whatever you call them.
Right.
So it's matches made up of sets, right?
It's game, set, match, like chess.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Or tennis, like tennis. Sorry, not chess. Chess is one match. There's no games.
Yeah,
so you're absolutely right. That's big time. That's top shelf from those ladies as well. Yeah, I think it's very important to mention that. But guys, like we're talking – 10 straight matches. It's unbelievable. I don't have the notes in front of me as to know has that ever happened.
I imagine Karen Hoppe at Auburn has probably not done 10 straight before. It's just it's hard to do. You're just going to get a draw in there at some point or something like that. But I mean, it's just that's a sign that we have carried that momentum from last year in and. Man, I just want to keep that ball rolling. It'd be really cool for them to get a pretty high seed in this tournament because the soccer season is a short one too.
It's a super short one because, like, for instance, they've got – I mean, after Florida State, we start conference play.
Yeah.
So once Auburn plays Florida State, it's Georgia, Tennessee, A&M, Carolina State, Mississippi State, LSU, Florida,
like
Arkansas,
bang,
Ole Miss,
bang,
Alabama.
Two games a week.
Season is over October 28th.
That's insane.
And that's in Tuscaloosa.
It's a whirlwind, man. And then the tournament's in Orange Beach, right?
Yes, the SEC tournament is Halloween. Starts on Halloween in Orange Beach. Every year. And I think – I mean, this is – now, none of these games that Auburn has played matter in terms
that's
of
true. They
getting
have,
to the SEC tournament and getting to the NCAAs. But you've got to figure this is a team that has had a ton of scoring coming back. So this is a team that has a lot of momentum and a lot of cohesiveness. They aren't putting a bunch of new pieces together. It's a lot of the same folks as last year. And last year, they were a lot of new people. So this team is just continuing to build. I think yep. we're looking at a team that's going to be, by the time they play, let's call it that number 10 game, the game against number 10 Arkansas in Auburn on October 21st. I think they might be just really, really good at that point. Like, you give them another month, and I think they're going to be incredible.
Talking about your favorite sport, soccer.
Oh, Ryan's here.
The S stands for soccer.
What are we talking about? Yeah, we've been on. We started without you.
Oh, man, I did show notes.
Oh, well, send them to me. We're almost done. Well, Ryan,
we're probably right on the show notes.
Would you show up an hour late to recording?
An hour? Whoa. Let's back it up. That's not an hour.
Ryan pulls in 30 minutes late to recording. Hair's a mess. Told us he's been painting.
I told you.
Told us he's been painting. He's in the middle of his blue phase. Yes. Or he's into watercolors these days.
Yeah, it's actually just a lot of very drab beige gray for wool.
Okay. You know, fun stuff. Are you in your latex phase then? Is that what this is?
Your hair looks very artistic currently.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot going on right now.
If you can't see Ryan because this is a podcast, Ryan's wearing like a tattered jean jacket and a white t-shirt with holes in it. His hair's all messed up. His fingers have cigarette stains. And yeah, there's just coffee cups all around him. And you don't know what they're full of at this point. He switches from coffee to absinthe somewhere in the middle of the day.
Well, I can't open this file, Ryan.
Right now.
Okay.
You sent us a corrupted file? It's a nice hacker, too?
No, we're good. Oh, see, we've already covered it. We didn't give details about what happened, but, you know.
Well, we painted a little bit of a picture.
We've talked soccer. We've talked volleyball. 4-0. We can talk more soccer, though.
So I like the fact that you have in this notes that Auburn's defense on soccer has both the tallest and its fastest person on its field on the field at all times.
Because yeah, not just on the Auburn roster, but like on anybody yeah. they've played so far.
Alyssa Melanzin is blazes. She is incredibly yeah. fast. And then Emmy Craven is 6'2", so she's taller than me.
So so is Melanzin? Is she a defensive midfielder?
Yeah.
You're calling her – or is she just a midfielder?
No, I think she's a defensive. I would say is okay. I would say like a central defensive.
It's like personally. A number eight, like a Weston McKinney type. Is that what we're talking
RIP.
Here? Yeah.
Yeah, as I'm still getting into soccer and learning positions and everything, I notice her as the person who takes the ball away from whoever's on offense, wherever they're at on the field.
So,
like some of these teams that they've been outclassing, they can't – run away from her. They can't possess it away from like that. She is faster than them, and will be on top of them wherever they're at.
She's a regular Alon.
I was going to say she's a lot more like an N'Golo Kante in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah,
she is just everywhere.
Yeah.
And Ryan, this is my hottest soccer take. I would rather have N'Golo Kante on my team than Mbappe. I'd rather have N'Golo Kante on my team than Cristiano Ronaldo. I'd rather have N'Golo Kante on my team than Erling Haaland. I think if you have that guy on your team,
yeah, he's like literally the only reason that well, not the only, but the biggest reason Leicester won a title.
Yeah, and man. If you've got a guy like that that is so fast and just in a menace at getting the ball back and then putting it in the right place to start possession, it's difficult to lose games. Difficult yes. to lose game. They have her as a defender slash midfielder. So, yes, she's a central defensive midfielder, I think.
So did you mention that Chattanooga had a whopping total of 0 shots?
No, I didn't mention that yet.
Not just 0 shots on goal, 0 shots.
It was a boring day for
it's a very latter stage Marco Silva Everton team there.
Just
No shots on goal.
Difficult to win when you don't shoot.
Yeah.
That and Olivia Cannellino having two goals in less than a minute, both in the 81st minute.
When you talk about Sydney Richards from Plano High School, she's playing outrageous this year. The Plano Texas gal.
This whole Auburn team has been playing awesome. And a lot of those Texas girls like you were talking about.
Her goal,
the brace against UAB.
Her goal against UAB.
Those were rockets.
Yeah. Her first goal against UAB would have been a goal from 50 yards away. She was about 15 yards away. She was probably 5 to 10 yards outside of the penalty box. And she hits this missile that about tore a hole in the back of the net. I mean, it was excellent. It was a screamer, as they say. It had a vapor trail. And the goalie for UAB, it could have been Manuel Neuer in goal. And I don't know if anybody's saving it. The thing was going so fast.
Wow.
Is Manuel Neuer – Manuel Neuer is a good reference still, but he's not the greatest goalie in the world anymore. But he's still
– No, that's Jordan Pickford.
Sure, yeah. It's Jordan Pickford. No, it's one of the two Brazilians who either plays for City or Liverpool is what I would think.
I think Emi Martin gives them a run for their money. He's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he is good. And Courtois is pretty good. There's a lot of good goalkeepers out there, Ryan. They're just not American anymore. Zach Steffen's good.
Are any of these goalies playing for Florida State right now? Because I don't think it really matters who's playing for Florida State. Their goalie has one save on the year. Like, that's not a knock on her that Florida State's only given up 8 shots in 5 games. So
that's a smothering defensive I've ever heard of. I wonder if they're if they press really high.
You've got them. Here. They've got 96-8. Is their shots differential?
Yeah, I think it's more of just they don't give up the ball on offense.
All right.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a fun one next Sunday.
And their goal differential, Auburn's a +9, and State is a +5. Because they have 16 goals to 3, so they're +5.5. So Auburn's got a better GD than State currently.
Wait, I'm missing how you're getting that.
Auburn has scored.
The goal differential is 16-3 for Florida State.
So that's
Right.
13.
Yeah, okay. 13. So I was dividing it. That's my fault. Sorry, man. It's been a long Labor Day weekend. I was doing division and not subtraction.
Division.
Yeah, I was doing division. It doesn't make any sense as to why. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but Florida State's best player is a transfer from
Florida.
Yeah, well, from Sweden.
Sweden.
Yeah.
Like, they got Florida's best player, I think, last year.
Yeah.
He was a freshman. I don't really know the situation. I kind of want to find out more
classic,
about it.
That's classic Florida State taking Auburn basketball's best player back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
What was dude's name again?
Player named Tony Douglas.
That's right, Tony Douglas. Dadgummit. I was really mad about that at the time. Like, really mad.
Yeah. He went on and did fine. It was.
He had a long NBA career.
Yeah.
So Vita Olson, that's the Florida player, Florida State player's name. We will now refer to her as Tony Douglas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vita Olson had 7 goals as a freshman last year and 5 assists. And eat them up, Auburn.
5-30 this year.
So. Yeesh. So Florida State's already beaten the Aggies, the Tide, Florida. Wow. And Florida's really good this year. They're not ranked currently. A&M's number 9 in the country currently.
Florida's missing their best player.
Because Florida's best player's playing for Florida State. Man, you know that game was tough. That would be like the rumors that Tank Bigsby was transferring to Georgia.
Oh, man.
If they had come true and Auburn had to play them this year and Tank Bigsby was on the team and had 4 touchdowns.
That'd have been horrible. Just horrible.
Oof. All right, so there's a good question asked on Twitter right now.
Excuse me.
By by the one and only Auburn Elvis. He asks, could Akron football beat Auburn soccer? And that's an interesting question. At football, yes. First of all, Auburn soccer doesn't have enough players, so it'd be really tough to field a full team.
I wonder if there are 11 dudes on the team that even know how to play soccer. I mean, chances are there are. If they've got a full complement of 72 players or whatever, there'd be maybe 11 that knew how to play soccer.
Yeah.
Akron actually carries 11 kickers on the team.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. I mean, they may as well have, based on the way Saturday went.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to jump in to say that, Vita Olsen, 2 goals against the Florida Gators this past Sunday. Or Thursday, rather.
Yikes, Florida. You hate to see it.
That's rough.
Yeah, in soccer, I think Akron would get beat by Auburn soccer. I don't think it would be 60-10 or whatever.
Right.
But I really don't think. I mean, and this is something that I think people oftentimes, it's never girls, guys oftentimes will say things like, I definitely think that I could beat a girls basketball team right now. Me and some guys could just turn up and beat them. Like that. Like that isn't sexist, but like you couldn't. you really couldn't. You and your guys could not turn up. And let's say you had like 6 buddies, and you're like, yeah, we need to get in some shape, and I bet we could go and beat Auburn women's soccer at soccer. You couldn't do it unless your guys are like pretty high level soccer players.
Yeah, unless they're very good soccer players.
Like if you're like, oh, well, this guy played college soccer. Well, yeah, he probably could.
Yeah.
But if it's just a bunch of dudes who hadn't played since junior high, no, you're not going to beat them. So, yeah. No, I mean, Akron
the
men's
basketball
football.
One makes even less sense because any dude that thinks that they can go beat a WNBA team is sort of crazy because the WNBA players are way taller than you. So
yeah,
sorry.
Plus, Anna Taurasi is the greatest.
Yeah. She's
how many buckets she would get on me? It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. And so fast. I've been out of professional basketball for 2 years and could still be.
Oh yeah,
pretty much any non-professional men's basketball player.
She runs. Maya Moore runs with the men, like the NBA. The NBA will go do Lifetime Fitness workouts in the summer. A bunch of dudes from the league will show up and be playing. And you'll look up and Maya Moore is on one of the pickup teams. And these guys are NBA players and they're letting her play with – guess what? They're not letting you play with them.
Yeah.
Because if you play with them, they're going to get hurt because you're so bad at basketball. You will injure them or yourself. All right. So – Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll discuss a little bit of collegiate football.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back 22 minutes and 51 seconds into this program in collegiate men's tackle football. The Auburn Tigers opened up the Brian Harsin era with a bang. And if you didn't know, and this is the only way you're hearing about this game, you should watch the highlights. It was good. There were a lot of highlights in this game from an Auburn perspective. The score was 60-10. And the game started at 6 o'clock.
It did start at 6. That was it was great.
It was over by about 6:10. So.
Yeah.
Bro.
It was a massacre. That is the probably single greatest throttling by halftime I've witnessed in person.
Yeah.
If Anderson hit the first extra point, that would have made it Auburn covering the game spread by halftime.
Which we've done. We actually did it against LSU a few years ago.
2014 LSU? The greatest game?
Yes. You know,
about the same talent level, I think, Packard and,
yes,
and LSU.
2014 LSU is the greatest Auburn football game ever played. And I...
Yeah, I don't know that you're wrong. I'll go down on that hill. I missed about half of it, so I don't.
And stuck in a bathroom line?
No.
I don't think his body missed the game.
No. My body missed the first.
Oh, okay.
I was there by the second quarter, but it was
a little weekend at Bernie's.
It was quite the day. It was quite the day. But this week I made the whole game. And it was pretty glorious. It was really fun to watch. I didn't have a bad thing to say except for that extra missed point. Or missed point. The missed extra point.
Missed extra point was one of the weirder things I've ever seen. Like, it was so out of character for Anders.
I feel a little bad for Anders Carlson because anytime he does anything wrong, I get violently mad that we didn't sign the kid from Fort Payne, whose little brother we are going to sign. But, yeah.
I just get upset that we didn't perfect cloning and just have Daniel
Carlson too. It's not his fault. It's just, it is his fault, I guess.
Right.
He's only probably going to be the second leading scorer in all the history.
Well, that's because he, yeah. Imagine if he played in a good Gus Malzahn offenses.
Right. And actually got to hit some extra points. Or yeah. Didn't have to shoot.
You've not been asked to kick from 50 yards as a freshman?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
His brother could
I think
have done
he's
it
awesome, but
I never liked that excuse.
Hey, his brother did lose a bowl game in overtime by doinking a field goal as a freshman. So.
It was against Wisconsin. Yeah. Who can blame him?
He just wanted to go home.
He just wanted to get out of there. I don't blame him for that at all.
Me too. I was there. Anyway.
So Crow, can I interest you in a little bit of Bo Nix positivity?
Sure, man.
For Saturday?
Everything's doing great with Bo Nix.
You know, not necessarily his biggest fan all offseason.
No, I am. I think he is still needing to prove me wrong.
Fair enough. He did everything he could in this one, though. I mean, we now have a new record holder for completion percentage in a single game at Auburn.
Yeah, that's right.
It's funny, after the last 2 years of us complaining that basically his completion percentage was what was holding him back. Bo Nix, 20 for 22, 91% completion percentage.
He beats out the guy who I have said is the most underrated quarterback in Auburn history, and that's Jarrett Stidham. People hated that guy, and he was currently holding that record. But that's okay.
He also he came into the game, Ryan, tied with his dad in yards. Was that correct?
Sure did.
And he surpassed him, obviously, but he tied him up in another category, which I believe is touchdowns, right?
Yeah, career touchdowns, which I think that was number 31 for Bo, or 29, 30, and 31.
Tied for like eighth or something like that in Auburn history.
Hmm.
Just going off the top of my head, things I see on Twitter about such. Goldmine tweeted about that.
I like the Goldmine.
Yeah, that's 31 career touchdowns for Bo. I mean, I think more importantly, like we knew he was probably going to have a pretty good game. I mean, most of the team was going to have a good game. But what we've wanted to see is what we got, where it seemed like the composure was there, able to stay in the pocket, set his feet, stepped into throws. I mean, all the things that even against other bad teams in the past, he hasn't necessarily done. The accuracy was there on down passes. Like I said, not scrambling at the first sign of pressure, even though there wasn't really any pressure from Akron. It was impressive. It was good to see. I mean, like you said, he can't prove us wrong against Akron, but did as much as he could.
Yeah, right. I think so. had himself a good game. It's a confidence builder for him and for fans.
And for me.
Yeah.
Most importantly. I think the main thing for me was that he had one I used to call a Griffin, and that it felt like Robert Griffin III was doing this every game the year he won the Heisman, where he had more touchdowns than incompletions. And I don't think Bo has ever done that.
I don't. Yeah, probably not. Not that Bo is super accurate. I'm not trying to make that claim, but Bo.
Nobody would make that claim.
Also, did not throw a ton of interceptions because Bo threw the ball away a lot.
Right.
And didn't do quite as much with his feet. I think that's what helped Robert Griffin III to not. Instead of having to throw the ball away, he would make the move himself.
Yeah.
With track star speed. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Him and Lamar Jackson are probably two of the best athletes as far as fine speed.
Here's the thing, like Bo, I harped all last year about how we should have just run the Nick Marshall offense, and the one game we did, Bo looked great in.
Yeah.
And we never tried it again, and I don't think we're going to see that this year. I think Bo is good with his feet. I think he could have done stuff like that, but the coaching he's received until this year, I think, was detrimental.
I think last year was mainly it was also a byproduct of we cannot afford this guy to get hurt.
Yeah,
we
do not have
a backup quarterback.
We didn't have anybody. That's true as well.
I had forgotten until just this moment just how terrifying the backup quarterback situation was last year.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, there's not a whole lot of good from last year, to be honest. Except for that one game where Bo looked good.
Well, nowadays, it is interesting to think, though, that nowadays there's not a lot of teams that are going to have really quality backups because folks will just transfer.
Yeah, I mean, your most likely backups are somebody with experience from another program that's trying to win a job and didn't win the job.
Yeah.
TJ Finley, or the heralded freshman who's got a sit a year before coming in next year,
right?
So more like Mitch Davis style. But yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily expect all three of these guys to be here next year. I don't think anybody really does.
You'll never, ever, 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 ever have a Tyler Watson, Andrew Zhao situation ever again anywhere. Or a Brock Berlin and Rex Grossman, I think, was the one.
Yeah, you might not ever even have a Tua, Jalen.
Yeah, I don't like think
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because even in that situation, Jalen transferred.
Right. He stuck around way longer than anyone would at this point now. If you can just go and get your free year, then it's going to happen going forward. Ryan, Andrew Zhao and Tyler Watts were two very mediocre quarterbacks at the University of Alabama.
I actually did not recognize those names. Not even joking.
Oh, that's hilarious.
They did a little quarterback rotation. It was.
Is this pre Joe Parker Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
I knew that one, and I did not care in the least about Alabama or Auburn football when Andrew Zhao was the quarterback.
That's when I was in high school.
In the 90s, is that what's going on?
Yeah, yes, late 90s, Ryan, yes.
Okay.
90s, early 2000s. Tyler Watts and Andrew Zhao went back and forth, and I believe Watts ended up being starter right before Brody Croyle. I think that's how that went down. Brody Croyle, Ryan, was a quarterback for a very mediocre quarterback for a very mediocre Alabama teams as well in the early 2000s.
Yeah, got the Jarrett Stidham at Clemson treatment, a decade before it was in style, right?
Yes, you are probably familiar from your preschool days, the honk if you sack Brody signs.
your preschool days?
Close enough.
That's that guy. But yeah, you won't ever have anything like that. I think you will see schools especially your Alabamas, with they'll still have a very talented backup and possibly with experience, because people will transfer there trying to win jobs or happy to be a backup. But you won't ever have guys that have gone and two guys a year apart or in the same class basically sitting there on the same bench together. That's just not going to happen if they're talented. For better or worse, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. That means more good quarterbacks to go around.
So, were y'all more impressed with Bo Nix, the quarterback, or just the entire stable of Auburn running backs Saturday? 275 yards, 10 yards a carry was a beatdown.
Yeah, well, I think they could have run. I think any of those running backs could have gone for 300 yards.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was probably more impressed with Bo. I think even last year's group of running backs could have probably produced the same kind of results this year, even without Tank, if you take him out of the equation. Bo just looking composed and settling us down, settling himself down a little bit. I think is more impressive.
So the running backs, like I said, 10 yards a carry. What was it, like 130 or so for Tank, another 120 for freshman Jarquez Hunter, just running people over all night. There was one carry by Tank. It's on the first or second drive where he goes up the middle, breaks a tackle, runs over the safety, I believe. Beautiful. As the safety is going to the ground under Tank's feet, Tank stiff arms his head into the ground.
Poor guy. Yeah, Tank is Tank, and he's going to put up bonkers numbers this year, I think.
Tank celebrating his touchdown at the 20 is one of the most incredible things in Auburn football since Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's been a long time since we've had
sight to see
an athlete that good do something that good, know he is doing something that good, and let everyone know that he knows that he is doing something that good.
I mean, it's a Bryce Brown level of confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah. We had some guys catch some balls out of the backfield, too, didn't we?
Yeah, Sean Shivers murdered a guy.
Sean Shivers, man.
Touchdown.
I've put this in the slide. There's a line from season one of Ted Lasso, the greatest show on television, in which Nate the Great refers to Roy Kent as someone who runs like he's angry at the grass. Mm-hmm. That's how Sean Shivers runs. Like, he's mad at the grass.
I need a movie poster featuring Sean Shivers photoshopped over Nick Cage and Drive Angry, but yes. It says Run Angry. That's what we need.
He's so
Somebody made a comment.
Perturbed.
Sean Shivers. Sean Shivers doesn't run to the goal line. He runs to the back of the end zone.
Yeah. Or he runs like, they're making me do this again. And it's like, it was Akron who made him do it. Akron's making me do it again. I guess I'm back.
I think the big takeaway from this is just it's a good confidence builder for our guys. I don't think you can take too much else away from it, because that team was stinky. And we've got another stinky team coming up next, unfortunately. I don't even know. Is this team any better than that team?
Alabama State?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to we'll play a little game here. Crow, Alabama State played Miles College Saturday. Do you know anything about Miles College?
No, I couldn't tell you where it is.
Okay, it is a D2 HBCU in Fairfield, Alabama, outside Birmingham.
No,
played them in basketball before. Fairfield, not
that is outside of my realm of knowledge of mascot names.
I was gonna say, does Crow know who Miles College mascot is? It's the Golden Bears.
If they're not Division 1A. There's no way.
Yeah. Anyways, Alabama State played Miles College and won 14-13 in overtime. So, stepping up the competition a little bit.
They were looking ahead to Auburn.
Yeah.
We played Alabama State, I believe, in 2018. Yeah, the week after the Washington game. And that score was worse than the Akron score, 63-9.
Isn't that the game that Stidham had the record that Bo just broke?
Probably.
Probably, yeah, if I had to guess. Let's see.
This is one of those where, like, actually, this past week was too, where at halftime, I was soundly in the camp of Tank Bigsby should not get another carry the rest of the game.
I know. After his touchdown, I was like, all right, let's not run.
Pull him.
That was pulling.
and Bo Nix should not have been in the game at any point in the second half. Now, what did he do one drive for the second half?
Yeah, he did.
One drive for the second half done.
That's pretty classic coaching move. I don't know why coaches do that. I have no idea why, but it's like NFL coaches do it too.
I imagine to just get them to keep a rhythm of, okay, you still got to get out here after halftime, just that kind of thing.
So Jarrett Stidham against Alabama State in 2018 did not set the completion percentage record or even come close to it. Actually, it looks like his second worst career game, third worst career game in terms of completion percentage. His worst game was the Georgia SEC Championship game.
I believe it.
Second worst game was at Clemson in 2017. And in this game, he went 6-for-11 for 113 yards.
So we just didn't they didn't throw a lot of passes. Auburn, Gus kind of handed the ball
didn't
off.
Throw a lot of them and completed even fewer.
Yeah. So that's – I was going to say the same thing. I think – one of the biggest difference between last year and this year is that we threw the ball 20 more times in this game against Akron than we would have under Gus. Yeah. I don't think Gus would have thrown 25 passes.
Oh, heck no. No, we would have thrown 10 or 11.
Bo would have thrown 10 passes and been out of there. He would have handed the ball off to Tank.
And Tank probably would have been out there for 15 to 20 carries.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it's first game, so he wouldn't have known that Tank was his number one back. You know, he's still figuring it out.
He split
50 carries between Shivers, Tank, and Hunter.
Alabama State and the Sagarin rankings, which have all FBS and FCS teams, there are 258 teams total. Alabama State is ranked 238th.
So this could be worse.
I imagine this is without the Miles College games included, so it will probably go down.
Where's Akron ranked in that?
Again, pre this week's results.
Pre Auburn beat.
Akron was 135.
So okay.
100 spots lower than the Akron.
There are 100 teams better than Alabama State, but worse than Akron.
Ouch.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I think is, what's the line in this game?
I actually haven't seen one.
It's got to be Auburn plus 50 or Auburn plus 45 minimum. Cuz wasn't it Auburn plus 36 for the Akron game?
37. Depending on where you saw it.
I'm hammering the money line on Auburn this week.
Well, I mean, I guess if there's one thing you did learn from this game, and that it's that Brian Harsin will not walk it into the half or the end of the game and kill the clock. Yeah,
which I love.
Wanted to get that experience for his guys.
That was my. I always got kind of irritated with Gus about that,
because that was Gus's thing in 2010. His thing was, we try to score when we have the ball, no matter what time. And then all of a sudden, he quit doing that.
Yeah.
Unless it was Arkansas. Always run it up on Arkansas.
It's true.
I like that Brian Harsin was – I think he was actively trying to go for the shutout.
Oh, yeah.
He had starters. Yeah. There were starters still in the game.
Dude, those – I bet those the second and third team guys were running gassers and whatnot today because they allowed them to score.
There were a couple starting DBs still in the game.
That is unfortunate for them.
Like, he was trying to keep this thing going.
Well, especially unfortunate for them because the backup quarterback for Akron actually wasn't half bad. The lead was 13 for 13 or 11 for 11 passing.
He wore number zero, which was rad.
Yeah. He took a couple shots by the defensive line, but didn't miss a pass.
The pass rush looked okay.
Yeah.
Difficult to know, like.
Yeah, of course it's going to look pretty okay against
six sacks, five players with those sacks.
The Auburn High offensive line might put up a better fight than Akron.
This was the question that I asked in the Slack. Would a very top, like Denton Ryan, I just watched Denton Ryan play in person last Friday night. They're the number one team in their division in Texas. They've got multiple. They had a kid who's the number one linebacker in the state, number 19 recruit in America for 2023, and Anthony Hill Jr. Auburn's offered him. Alabama's offered him. Everyone's offered him. They've got a three-star running back who I think is going to go to Colorado. They got a safety who's a Division I prospect. There are guys up and down that field who are Power 5 prospects in high school. Could they beat Akron? I think probably, Akron would have a size advantage on the line.
It would be a competitive game, I think. Like the very like bottom of the spectrum, right. It would be a competitive game.
And like,
so really, my biggest question is the offensive line as a whole FBS size?
And that's the thing,
because if you end up running like a 240-pound offensive lineman out there, they're gonna get beat.
I mean, that is the biggest difference. That's the biggest difference when you drop down to FCS is on both lines are usually just way smaller, noticeably smaller from inside the stadium. And even Jacksonville State, who gets cast-offs and guys kicked off all these other FBS teams in the Southeastern Conference, even they're still just vastly undersized compared to anybody playing in FBS. Except for maybe Akron.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the joke is, could Alabama beat the Jets or whatever was the joke from a couple years ago? And, you know, that's not a good comparison because the difference in NFL talent and college talent is bigger than this. All of the Jets players are NFL players. As good as Alabama is, not all of Alabama's players are NFL players. A top-level high school team has got more guys that Alabama is recruiting than Akron does. Like, Akron doesn't have anybody that Alabama wants.
Yeah, I mean, you could take a handful of guys off that Denton team that would start at Akron. Give them an offseason to get the playbook, and they would start at Akron.
They got their middle linebacker is the number one linebacker in the state. He looks like he's older than me, and he was completely unblockable in the game that I watched. And the team they were playing against was the number five team in the state, and it was like, oh yeah, this guy is like if I was playing a Pee Wee team, it was unbelievable. Anthony Hill Jr. is unbelievable. He played running back too, of course. He was just no one could tackle him. But their other running back was also number two, I think, was also super, super good. Anyway, I was in awe of the talent level, and I was like, yeah, could they beat a terrible FBS team? I'm not saying they could beat
crazier things have happened. I mean,
Kansas.
I think but probably because just knowing how Texas football works and the money that probably flowed through some hands to get a lot of those kids to that particular school in the first place.
Might be being paid more than the players at Akron.
It's basically
sure.
They are probably better than most junior college teams, at least. So if we want to set a baseline there.
Oh, there's some junior college teams in Texas that I guarantee you would beat Akron.
Yeah. Well, Flynn Junior College, yeah. Cam Newton?
Yeah.
They could beat that Akron team by 100 points. Cam Newton would have scored 18 touchdowns.
And that's – some of these JUCO teams in East Texas especially, like
– imagine
– they're all just guys who get kicked off of Texas and A&M and like Power 5 teams.
Imagine, if you will, one of these teams like an Akron that has to roll up and play a dude like Cam Newton.
Well, they said this. This was on the broadcast. They mentioned that. I'd like to know what the Alabama State version of this is. But that the Auburn offensive line outweighed the Akron defensive line by an average of 60 pounds per person.
Oh, I bet. I don't doubt that at all.
They didn't mention this, but I'd like to know if the Auburn defensive line outweighed the Akron offensive line. Because it might have.
You're asking about the Alabama State offensive line?
Tell me if the Alabama State offensive line is bigger on average than the Auburn defensive line.
I'm going to take a little bit of digging just because I'm going to look at the roster, but I don't really know who the starters are.
Yeah, you don't know if they're too deep.
I can tell you that Alabama State has a wide receiver who's 5'5", 137. Interesting. Let's go
that
other
is like,
direction.
That is very small. He's like a size. He's like a size 4.
He's a third year guy. He's not like a freshman that just got in the program.
She thought that was funny. My dress joke. Oh my.
I worked in retail with a big focus on women's fashion for many years, so that got me pretty good. Thank you.
Alabama State offensive line, again, don't know who the depth or the starters are out of this group, but 6 foot 250, 6'2", 330, 6'3", 275, 6'3", 312, 6 foot 288, 6'3", 350, big dude there, 6'2", 285, 6'2", 305, 292, 267, 350, 275, 290, 380. Oh, my God. That's a typo. 5'10", 381.
Tell me his name. What's his name?
Herbert Parham.
Herbert.
Spell it.
Herbert or his last name?
Parham.
It's Parham. Literally how it sounds.
Okay, like, cool.
No, it's Parham.
You know what?
It's Parham.
I believe. He's got.
Is he 6'10", 380?
He's listed at 5'11". And he's on at ESPN as 5'11",
373. Oh, my.
Packed on a couple.
There number 79.
Where's he from?
Edgewood, Maryland.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, that is a giant person.
Yeah. But also not.
I mean, well, 5'11", he's normal size.
Yeah, he's average height.
But he played defense in high school.
Massive whip.
And had 122 tackles, including 81 solo tackles, 16 sacks in 12 games in his senior season.
So basically being 5'11 is the only reason he's not playing at somewhere besides Alabama State.
In his junior and senior years, he combined for 213 tackles. And he finished his prep career with 31 sacks. But then he moved to offensive line in 2021 in the spring. That's interesting.
I sent you a link about the Alabama State punter, freshman, Aubrey Grace. Amazing hair.
What's his name?
Aubrey Grace.
Aubrey.
Aubrey yeah. Grace.
He does not look like Drake.
Doesn't really look like the typical Alabama State.
No, he's got a mullet, and he is from Montgomery, Alabama.
Aubrey Grace.
And his mullet is just fantastic.
Brian, between the years 1997 and...
Aubrey Grace is the name of a girl at a private school in Montgomery today, guaranteed.
Every Southern mom wanted to add Grace into the name of whatever child they're having. I don't know if that's still going on.
Oh, man, I'm sure it is.
My sister's
when you say between 97 and 2005, do you mean the kids born between then or?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, these are essentially kids a little bit younger than me, so.
Yeah.
And then Grace, it's a double name. Aubrey Grace is the double name of a girl at a Montgomery private high school right now.
Aubrey Grace McAllister. That's
and she has that.
Paris to the McAllister's Deli.
She's got that monogram on the back of her Forerunner right now.
Boy, does she. my sister's very lucky that she did not have Grace as a middle name as a result of that fad. I don't know if it's still going on. No, because they just make up weird names now, right?
I don't know, man. They do over here. People make up the weirdest names.
And you got to spell it funny.
I can't tell you how many Jacksons there are with an X.
Oh, yeah. Man.
All I over bet. The batting cages in North Texas.
You got to go crazy with the J-A-X-S-O-N. You got to hit them with the
and why
two
is it,
versions.
Why one. Is it always baseball? It's baseball parents that are this way. Right. Baseball people in North Texas are weirdos, and the same people who named their people
ended,
that.
You could have ended at the before the North Texas part.
It's true
because I love my baseball people.
Yeah,
into Little League and
the
making
number,
it their whole life.
The number of indoor batting cages in North Dallas is staggering.
I bet.
I passed one. I can't go anywhere without passing one.
It's a whole another topic for a different day, but there's a reason that college baseball players all kind of suck a little bit.
I feel like we're verging on the one-time crow called the all lacrosse players racist.
I'm not saying that.
No, that's not. I'm not.
And
I'm not
didn't say that at the time that all lacrosse
these are just
players
people
are racist.
Whose parents have made their whole life about one single thing their whole lives, and their personalities suffer as a result. That's all I'm saying.
I never said that all lacrosse players were racist.
No, you just said the whole sport was racist.
I said there's some racial elements in the fact that sport becomes popular, the schools it becomes popular at.
It like swept through the South not too long ago, but I don't know if that's still happening. I don't know if that's.
Well, guys, the most important thing this podcast can give you at 11 o'clock in the morning, Saturday, that is the kickoff for the Alabama State game. So most podcasts, I listened to The Observer again this week, Painter and Justin, good friends of the pod, did not mention the kickoff time for this game. Mm. Again, that's 2 weeks in a row that The Observer, at least on the free pod, has not given you the time of kickoff. We'll tell you right now, it's happening at 11 o'clock Central Daylight Time. Probably going to be an 11:05 kick, if I had to guess. So set your calendar, set your clocks. That's when it's happening. If you are attending that game, be aware it will be the hottest day of your life.
Oh,
it doesn't look like it.
Nah, I don't
care.
The
weather's calling for 85.
Yeah, right.
Right, that's not accounting for the late summer sun just beaming
directly
down.
Sun.
Sure. I remember the Tulane game, though.
It's the hottest day of my life was that Tulane game. That was the hottest day of mine. And I was there with Mr. Josh Black, friend of the pod, friend of Crow. And I was drinking we were in the good seats, and I had access to free bottles of water. And I probably drank 12 bottles of water. And the whole time I was thinking, what are people doing that have to purchase bottles of water? People are going to die.
Just dying.
People are going to die in this game.
That was me and Dr. McLaughlin in the
hottest game.
I was soaked.
Hottest day of my life was probably a 11 a.m. kickoff in September, possibly October, Mississippi State game. Thought I was going to die.
Yeah, the 05 Georgia Tech game ranks up there for hottest games I've ever been to.
That was a hot game. I don't remember it being particularly hot, though. I was there. That game stunk.
It was,
I walked home from that game. It was very hot, though. You're right. But, yeah, that Tulane game, man. Jeez Louise. They shouldn't do that anymore. I feel like an Alabama fan complained about how hot it was, but it was hot.
Hey, props to the student section. We need to do that. Props to the student section for being
sticking
around longer than the rest of the crowd
and being appropriately dressed. They were all dressed for the heat and the sun,
except for the pledges. Even in a whiteout, pledges were in blazers.
They can't help that, dude. That's just the way it is. Not that it shouldn't be. Go on a big limb there. It shouldn't be that way, but it's the way that it is.
Yeah, well,
it's okay. That institution most likely won't exist in 5 years, if I had to guess, but we'll see. That's my hottest take of the pod so far. And I don't know if the fraternities will.
That's a piping hot take.
I don't know if fraternities are long for this world.
And that's coming from our resident fraternity brother, too.
Yeah,
I'll say this will be the. Auburn would be one of the last the last holdouts, if that were to.
That's true. But I think it's one of those things like I have a very strict, if it didn't exist, could it policy. So, like, if let's pretend this thing never existed.
And you're just trying to make it up now.
And you need to make it up. It would never get off the ground. You could never get the fraternity system built from scratch. No. Of course, I guess I say the same thing about major college football, but I digress.
Or major colleges, I think, is where you need to go back to.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. True. Like, could you – hey, here's the deal. We're going to have a group of people, for the most part, monoethnic, and they're going to pay money to hang out together, call themselves a club, and we will give them better seats at state at the football game. No, it's never going to – like that. No. There's no way that gets off the ground.
I've always had an issue with the way that seating has been done at Auburn games anyway. I mean, there's the best seats in the house are reserved for people involved in student government and fraternities and sororities.
My hot take is that those are actually the worst seats in the student section.
They are pretty bad seats.
Well, you're low at field level. You're facing sideways at the end zone. You can't really see down the field. It's not a great seat.
I mean, I guess maybe that's why the Betas used to not sit there. They would sit up in the corner.
Yeah, section 19, halfway up in the zone. That was my spot.
I like to sit around the portal in the corner there, near the band-ish. That's usually where I used to sit.
All right.
Well, guys, Dragon off and Sega Dragon on.
Let's continue. What do we have anything else to talk about besides Alabama State football? Here's the deal. Next week, come back. We will talk to you about what happened in this game.
Yeah, we got a big game to talk about next week.
We will talk to you about potentially Auburn soccer beating number one team in America. We will talk about the Penn State game. We will talk about what time the Penn State game is. We will talk about maybe who's playing each position, the names of the coaches. Stuff you don't get in other podcasts. What's the name of Alabama State's coach, Ryan, before we leave?
I can't remember his first name, but I think it's Phil Ely, something along those lines.
Ely? Okay, good. As long as we give everybody that kind of information. That's the information people come to podcasts for. This other stuff they can look up. What time does the game start? What is the name of the coach? That's what we
Donald
give them.
Donald Hill Ely, that is their head coach.
Well, excuse me? Your what hurts?
Donald, and then hyphenated Hill Ely.
Donald? Hill
Donald.
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 Hill. Hill.
And then hyphen E-L-E-Y. Ely.
Okay. Donald Hill Ely.
E-L-E-Y, that's Ely, dog.
Ely? Ely.
Donald Hill Ely.
Ely.
Ely should be E-A something.
Nah, dog.
I can't wait for someone else to read it on ESPN.
But yeah.
Those of you who listen to this podcast will go, oh, yeah, that's Donald Hill Ely. I learned about that guy, that he exists. On the Orange and True podcast.
But eight of you have been edified.
Yeah. All right. Adios, muchachos. Have a war eagle weekend.
Man's got to have a code.